Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Amen. Let's all stand as we open up God's Word. And turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. And we're going to read verses 13 through 16 together. And then we can be seated. Allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your goodness and grace. We thank you for your mercy. And we thank you for your loving kindness. And Lord, we're asking now, God, that you give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this morning's message, The Greatest Man Who Ever Lived. The Greatest Man Who Ever Lived. Are we there in Matthew? Let's read. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Who do men say that I am? The Son of Man? So they say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said to them, But who do you say that I am? Verse 16, Simon Peter answered and said, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. May the Lord have a blessing to the hearer and reader of his word. You may be seated. Let's look up here, saints. Jesus is not only the most important person who ever lived, but he's also the most controversial. How many believe he's controversial? Oh, yes, he is. Oh, yeah. Till this day, there's people will claim that all he was just a prophet or a man. But little do they know that he is our Savior and Lord. And so throughout history, saints, people have hated him, ignored him, loved him, and died for his sake. 2,000 years ago, Jesus walked out of a carpenter's shop to begin his ministry. And since then, an increasing number of people have followed him ever since. Who is this man called Jesus? Saints, his disciples asked that question, as we see right up here. Who do people say that the Son of Man is? I'm asking to us this morning, who is Jesus to you? Huh? That's right. But you know, there's some folks, I'm talking around the world, there are some folks that think that he's a genie in the bottle. I can just rub it a couple of times and ask for some things, and he will bless me. You know, it's his grace and his mercy that answers prayers that we lift up. Can I get an amen? You got to understand, he's a sovereign God. Hallelujah. And the answers varied from John the Baptist to the Old Testament prophets. But when he asked this question, once again, let's go up here. He said to them, But who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that's who he needs to be in our life. Can I get an amen? The Christ, the Son of the living God. The God-man. Hallelujah. They came to save us from a fiery hell. Saints, today Christians still believe this. We celebrate his birth on Christmas. Amen. We worship and we bow down to him as our Lord. And we pray in his name. And to us, saints, he is the most awesome person who ever walked on earth because he's God's only begotten Son. Scriptures refer to Jesus with many titles. Messiah, Son of God, Savior of the world, the reigning Lord, ruling judge, and returning King are just a few of them, saints. Therefore, you and I, if Jesus is who Scripture says he is, we should respond in the following ways. Believe him, follow him, serve him, proclaim him, know him through God's word, and love him. Can I get an amen? Amen. And when we do this, it will impact every aspect of our lives, every aspect. And so I need to remind us right up here, what are Jesus' attributes? Do you understand what the word attribute means? That means looking at someone's character, meaning look at someone's life. That means looking at someone, how they speak, how they walk, how they talk, how they convey their message. Everyone has attributes. What is your attribute? What can people say about you? Well, this morning, it's not about us. It's about Jesus. And so we have to look at who he is. We have to look at why he came. We got to see this risen Savior who died for you and I. So the first attribute we have to adhere to is he is creator. Hallelujah. Aren't you so blessed that he created you? That's right. Listen, he had you and myself and all of us in mind before the whole universe was spoken into existence. This is the mind of God. And I can confirm this in his word. Right up here in Colossians 1:15. He is the image. Who is? Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God. Look at this. The firstborn over all creation. All. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible. Let me pause right there. Did you know that if God allowed you to look into the invisible world, you would freak out? There are more things in the invisible world than there are in the world that we can see naturally with our own eyes. Thank God he doesn't allow us to look into the invisible world. You think those movies that some people see, these demons, man, you would see all the demons. And you would be running for your life. Some of them are giant. Oh, yeah. But you would also see his created angels, hallelujah, who come to be with us, that come to minister to us, hallelujah. And so, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. You see, we are created, hallelujah, for his great pleasure. Oh, yes. So just remember, your life should exemplify one thing, to bring him glory and honor, because he created us for his pleasure. Thank you, God. I know that's kind of hard to comprehend right now, but just ponder those thoughts as we move on into this message. And then he's omnipresent. Let's look at this. He's omnipresent. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's merciful. He's eternal, sinless. He's human also at that time. Deity and virgin born. So omnipresent. As Savior saying, Jesus lives within our hearts and with us wherever we go. So no matter if you go around the world and you go visit China or you go somewhere around the world, he's with you, inside you. He's everywhere at once. Oh, yes. He's omnipotent. What does that mean? God, the Son, has all power to do whatever fits with his character and is in keeping in his Father's will. So the will for us, hallelujah, is from God. It's that we would be part of his plan. Aren't you so blessed to know that you're part of his plan? You know, the whole world can't fathom that at all. Omniscient, meaning there are no secrets because our Lord knows all things with all complete accuracy. He sees everything, knows everything. Man, isn't that something to know that? Before we even utter a prayer, he knows what we will say. Merciful. We may freely call upon Christ to be merciful to us and need never to worry that he will mistreat us. You know God won't mistreat you? Listen, I've heard some horror stories. Yolanda and I, we have counseled many couples, and we've heard some really horrible things that sometimes even in marriages can take place. things that are said, things can get physical, all that. But God will never mistreat us in that way. He's the loving Savior. He's also eternal. Jesus was born of a woman, but this is not when he came into existence. He was always with his Father. He chose to come down to be with us. Wow. So in other words, he always existed. He came to be with us. He's the eternal God. Thank you, Lord. And guess what? He was sinless. Just imagine for one moment. Listen, the moment we wake up in the morning until we close our eyes at night, how many times do we sin in our mind? Sin comes into our thoughts. Sometimes we do things that are sinful. Come on. But imagine this. Jesus Christ is the only one that never had that issue. He doesn't have these ungodly thoughts like we do. He don't covet. We don't look at things and go, wow, look at that. You know what I'm talking about, men. Women too. You know, that's not his nature. Because he doesn't have a sinful nature. So he had to be sinless to come upon this cross to die for us. He was sinless. But he was also human. Although he never ceased being God, Jesus was also fully human yet without sin. And because he lived as a man, he understands and can help us in our weaknesses. He had to come to be like us to experience our infirmities. So everything that we go through, emotional, physical, he experienced it on the cross. My goodness. All the way to the point of death. He experienced death as well. And also he was deity. What does that mean? Jesus was also wholly divine with all the attributes and perfections of being a deity, meaning God Almighty. And last, he was virgin born. Thank you, God. To become holy, sinless God-man, Jesus had to be conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of a virgin. In other words, no male could have touched that young virgin woman we know as Mary. God selected her, knowing that she was never touched by a man, so that the Spirit of God could come upon her. Hallelujah. Aren't you so blessed that God had a better way, a better plan? Listen, none of us could have schemed this up. None of us could have came up with this plan. Even these nuclear biochemists couldn't come up with it. Einstein couldn't come up with it. No one could have came up with this, but God Almighty, hallelujah. He came up with this plan to save us. To save a wretch like us. Can I get an amen? So my question is this. Where is Jesus today? Where is he today? Is he living in your heart? Yes. Hallelujah. Or does he just show up on Christmas? Or does he just show up on Easter Sunday? Huh? Saints, according to the scriptures, let's look at this in Romans. I love this. In Romans 8:34, who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. He's praying for you 24/7. Jesus is praying for you that you can make it. Aren't you so blessed to know? Hallelujah, that no matter what kind of pickle you find yourself in, whatever predicament you find yourself in, sometimes we do it to ourselves, sometimes it just happens and we don't see it coming. He's praying for you. He prayed for Peter. I'm praying for you, Peter. Satan comes to sift you like wheat, but I'm praying for you. He's praying for you that you can make it endure to the end. Can I get an amen? Listen, we're going to find all kinds of obstacles in life to try to thwart us off the plan. And the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus has come to give you life and life more abundantly. Can I get an amen? Because he abides in our hearts. At the moment of salvation, His Spirit came to indwell and seal us as His. He marked us with His Spirit. Now we abide in Him and He in us. Oh, yes. I got some scripture to back that up. Let's look at this. Romans 8, 9. That, oh, by the way, if you look at my license plate, that's what my license is, Romans 8 and 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Notice, capital S, what does that mean? Holy Spirit. You are in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now look at this. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. Did you catch that? Huh? I know, that's a hard word to chew on right there. Let me read it again. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not His. So here's the simple fix. Cry out, oh God, I'm a sinner, and I need You. Forgive me of my sins. Cry out. And that's when God shows up. He cries out with a heart of repentance. And it's not about, let's make a deal. This is the deal. This is right here. You cry out, God, I'm sinful, and I need You, Jesus. And when you come and humble yourself, man, that's when He shows up mighty and strong in your life. Yes, He does. Look at verse 10. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of what? Righteousness. Thank You, God. Hallelujah. Now look at verse 11 here. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Now, if the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. So, what does that mean? That means when He comes the second time, and when He calls the elect from the east to the west, from the four corners of the earth, the Spirit of God that's living in you, that's what's going to quicken you to go. Hallelujah. Man, we'll be caught up to be with Him. Because it's the same Spirit that raised Him from the dead is going to raise us up. Come on, man. When you find out that God's living in you, the hope of glory, man, you should go to bed. Don't matter what happened that day, you should go to bed knowing, Lord, thank You. You're with me. And come what may. If the medicine doesn't cure me, hallelujah, the diet, whatever we do, it don't matter. Because the day comes when these eyes finally shut. Hallelujah. The moment they shut, you'll be with Him. Hallelujah. In glory. That should excite you knowing that, hey, we got fire insurance. Aren't you so blessed to know that? Oh, yeah, you know, we don't need State Farm. I hope you know that. Man, we got the best fire insurance. Hallelujah. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You, God. Hallelujah. So let's say, what, right up here, what was Jesus' mission on earth? What was His mission on earth? Why did He come? Yes, I know He came to save us. I get that. But there was another reason why He came. You know why? Because the Pharisees had a problem with Him. Jesus is the only, it's only in the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels, where He called the religious folks, what, vipers and snakes? You guys are whitewashed tombs? You notice Jesus never called us that. But He called these religious folks. But His main purpose was this: to reveal the Father. Listen, He had to come so that He could be tangible. You can touch God. Hallelujah. You know, if you drive down University Avenue, there's all kinds of little gods in the windows. They put fruit bowls and stuff, incense, you know, burning up. But you try to go talk to one of them, and they just stare at you. Why? Because they're dead. There's nothing alive to that. Jesus came, hallelujah, to be the risen and to be alive in us. And to reveal the Father. Hallelujah. Thank You, God. He had to come in a tangible way. Hallelujah. Look at what he told his disciples. He said, he who has seen me has seen what? The Father. So when he was around, man, they were looking at the glory of God. God coming down to sinful earth. Hallelujah. To be with us. Aren't you so blessed that God took the time out to come down here to save us? This is how much he loves us. And because he was God, everything Jesus did and said revealed the Father's nature and his works. But the mission that he came to earth was to reveal the Father and then to redeem mankind. Thank you, God. Aren't you so blessed? He came to redeem us. Listen, the Bible says we've been bought with a price. What do I mean by that? His blood. He purchased us back to himself by the blood. You got to remember, when Adam and Eve fell in the garden, through one man's disobedience, sin entered in. When sin entered into the world, death entered into the world. But when Jesus, the righteous, came into the world, hallelujah, he came to set us free. He came to set us free. Jesus came to offer himself on the cross as a sacrifice for our sins. Now, everyone who believes in him, saints, repents of sin and confesses Jesus as Lord and Savior will be saved. And here it is in a nutshell, right up here in this scripture. It's very simple. And Peter said what? Repent. People are walking the course of this world, and they got it going on. And then all of a sudden, man, things start happening in their life. And let me just say this. You don't have to be strung out and doped out and be an ex-gangbanger or whatever. I've seen some educated, some people with certificates. I mean degrees. And yet, there's something missing inside. They have everything in the world. They got money, they got cars, they got homes. But there's still something missing. There's a void. Well, for some of us that came, we were knuckleheads, we had to come that way. I came that way. I came through that doping way. But there's some that come very educated. Well, you know, where they look down and their noses are like this. And yet they still need Jesus too. Huh? Our religious friends who are not here today. Temple Beth Shalom. They need Jesus. Can I get an amen? Yes, they do. Just because their ancestors wrote this book don't mean nothing. Thank God for the scriptures, but they need Jesus too. So here's the simple fix. Man has this course that they're walking on, and then God calls them, and they make an about face. That's what repent means. It's making an about face, and now you're walking toward God. It's as simple as that. Listen, a little baby cannot err in that. It's us adults that make it hard. Well, I don't know about all that. Repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Why? For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. These are the promises of God. And listen, because of these promises, you can now go to God and say, God, save my children. Save my grandchildren. Oh, God, save my brothers. Save my sisters. Oh, God, save my mom and dad. Oh, God, save my grandparents. Oh, God, save my aunt and uncles. And the list goes on. Why? Did you know that one person in your family, it could be you, could be that focal point in your family's life. Your one life, the one life can touch many in your family. God will raise up one. He'll raise up two. He'll raise up three. But then you'll be the ones that will be the major influence in their life. And after years go by, they will go, man, okay, I'm getting this now. I'm understanding it. That's the grace of God. That's the mercy of God. Can I get an amen? Man, we serve a mighty God, a loving God, an awesome God. So his mission on earth also was, right here, to assure us of life after death. Aren't you so blessed to know that? Listen, there's folks, man, I'm telling you, there are folks who, even on their deathbed, have not given their hearts to Christ. And that's a scary moment now. That's a scary thought. I got to share this with you. I've shared it before, but I want to share it again. How many of you know who Raul Ruiz is? Okay, this guy was, you know, street raised like some of us in here. You know, we didn't go to seminary. Okay, neither did Raul Ruiz. And he's got a church now up in Pomona area. About 10,000 folks there. But one family came and says, Pastor, we need you to come pray. Our grandfather is perishing. He's in a hospital. He's about 85 years old, and he don't know who Jesus is. You know, and the guy all his life was just an alcoholic and, you know, just puffing away and just had the cursy words, the whole works. And now he's laying in a bed, and he's all hooked up. And so Raul Ruiz says, oh, yeah, I'll come and pray for him. So the family brings him in. He's got all these monitors, you know, all everything hooked up. You could see his whole lifeline on the monitor and everything. You know how when someone flatlines and all that. And he came to him. He says, sir, I'm the pastor of your family, and I come to pray for you. Oh, I don't need no prayer. He goes, you need Jesus before you die. Oh, I don't need him. And he started cursing. And then he started cursing out Raul Ruiz. Raul Ruiz is sharing this on the radio. The radio program is called Somebody Loves You. You can catch his radio station on 107.9 FM. And after he started cursing out the pastor, then all of a sudden on the monitor, his heart rate started lowering. And then all of a sudden, he started screaming out. He started saying, my feet are burning. My legs are burning. And he was in agony. And then right before he died, he belted out a screech that it was just so eerie in their ears. He and he died and went right into hell. Listen, Jesus came to save us from that horrible place. I can't believe when I heard that, man, I had to pull over, man. I started weeping. You know why I was weeping? Not because you can't weep for the dead no more. They're done. I was weeping and thanking God how he saved me. When's the last time you wept and said, thank you, God, for saving me? Thank you for dying for me. Thank you that I didn't die in that state like this old man who cursed you to his very end. But Jesus, he came to assure us of life after death. And when Christ overcame death and rose from the grave, the issue of eternal life was settled once and for all, saints. Without his resurrection, we'd have no hope of life after death and no confidence at all that Jesus said was true, what everything he said was true. We have to have assurance. Can I get an amen? And the assurance is the Holy Spirit living in your heart. Look at 2 Corinthians right up here, 5 and 6. So we are always confident. Say that with me, saints. Always confident. One more time. Always confident. Knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present from the Lord. That scripture alone lets us know, as a believer, that once the body expires, we will be with him in glory. Just like that. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. So Jesus' mission on earth was also this right up here. To promise us the resurrection. Thank you, God. Because he rose again, we will rise again. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Jesus was raised up. And we can be sure that we too will be resurrected when he returns. You know why? Because he promised it in his word. Look at this next verse of scripture, 1 Corinthians 15:20. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. You know what fallen asleep means? Those who had died. You see, there are those who died before he rose again. This is why when he died on that cross, he went down and delivered them, all the believers. Thank you. Man, I'm telling you, he didn't miss nobody. And guess what? He won't miss you. Thank you, God. Because it was a mystery to us. Did you know? Come on. How many times did we, when we were kids, I was sharing this with the prayer team this morning. How many times did we go to church as a kid? We maybe went to Christmas once a year. We came out. And there's nothing wrong with that. But at least we came out and we didn't know that God loved us so much. I was told that he was angry at me and that there was really no hope for me. But the word of God was a mystery to us. Did you know that it was a mystery? You ever read a mystery novel? Like the whodunit? Well, the word of God was a mystery to all of us until we came into the saving knowledge. And once we got saved, then God revealed these love letters to us. This book are love letters to you. This book will assure you that if you adhere and receive his grace, his love, by faith, you will have eternal life. Oh, yes. And so look at this verse of scripture right up here. Behold, I tell you a what? Mystery. So that word mystery is not just in a novel form. It's in the word of God. See, this was revealed to Paul the apostle when he wrote to the Corinthian church. It was a mystery to them. It was a mystery to us. Look at this. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. What does that mean? We're all not going to die. Aren't you, man, just gather that for a moment. But we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible and shall be changed. Listen, many of you have already loved ones that went on. That passed, we've been to the funerals, they were placed in a casket, they're 6 feet under. The body, which was, we all were born in sin, so the body has to deteriorate, okay? So if we were living in an incorruptible body, it would never deteriorate. But it's deteriorating, okay, until finally all that's left is bones. But the Bible says right here, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible. That means these new bodies that he gives us will never die. Can I get an amen? This is God's promise to you and for me. You should have great confidence and great hope knowing that God has prepared a new body for you and we shall be changed. Look at verse 53. For this corruptible, we still live in a corruptible body, must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality, meaning a new body that will live forever and ever. And how long is forever? Forever. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, Hades, where is your victory? You see, Hell cannot have dominion over us anymore. Hallelujah. We have averted that place because of Jesus. Jesus stepped in. And look at this. Look at verse 56. The sting of death is sin. You see, it never was supposed to be like that until Adam and Eve bit in the garden. And because of them, sin has entered into the world. This is why Jesus had to come. This is why we sing the Christmas carols at this time. Because a Savior came to be born. He came to die for us. And he didn't stay the little baby in the manger. Hallelujah. He grew up to be a man of all men. Hallelujah. He became the God-man. Hallelujah. That came to die for you and I. So the sting of death is sin, and the strength of the sin is the law. It was God's law that we would have to die because of the sin. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, immovable. This is why you and I, we need to be steadfast in our faith. Can I get an amen? Don't let the world shake you. When trials and tribulations come, when temptations come, don't let that veer you off course. Stay, hallelujah, on the straight and narrow. Can I get an amen? Because it's not going to be like this forever. We're going to be delivered one day. Hallelujah. And we're going to have that new body, glorifying him, magnifying him. Hallelujah. I can't wait for that day. It's coming. It's promised to us. Therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. Can I get an amen? Amen. What you do for Christ, it's not in vain. Did you know he takes notice of even the simplest things? You can go right there in the men's restroom or the women's restroom, and there may be a used up napkin or a towel on the floor. Just by picking it up and throwing it in the trash, do you know he takes notice of that? Simplest things. Oh, we're all looking for the big, grand thing. No, he looks at the small, little, intricate things in our life. He's involved in that. Oh, yes, he is. So his mission on earth was also, saints, to give us abundant life as we wait on him. How many of you are living the abundant life right now? You remember the day we used to live, man, out there, man? Man, we used to come in at 5 in the morning, all strung out, man. And then waking up from that day, man, it felt like there was a big old giant 50-pound gorilla on your head. And all crudo. Come on. Oh, that was just me. You guys were the perfect saints, huh? Growing up. Come on. God came to deliver us from that. And to give us abundant life. Now we can go to bed, man, without that big old gorilla on our back. Can I get an amen? We don't have to worry about re-upping. Oh, you didn't catch that one, huh? Re-upping. Oh, man, I'm getting low. I got to go re-up. Oh, you don't remember that, huh? Come on, man. We were in bondage. We were in bondage to the devices of the devil. I got scripture for that. Look at this right up here. The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what the devil wanted to do in our lives, was to destroy us. That we would get caught up in all the things that he placed in this world. That it would be an ensnare, an entrapment to us, to utterly kill us. Why would he want to kill us? So that he would stick his arm up to God. Ah. You thought you came to save them, and I killed them. But Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Now we can live a clean life. We don't have to do those things we once did. Can I get an amen? We can have a pure life, a holy life. Hallelujah. Glorifying him, magnifying him, and testifying. Look what God has done for me. Hallelujah. And God can do that for you. You don't have to live like that no more. That's why he came. He came for purpose. Hallelujah. And so, all that we have in Christ is beyond our understanding. He's given us amazing promises, and it's continually working in for our good, for your good. So, who did Jesus say he was, saints? Who did he say he was? And so, the Word of God identifies him right up here. He's the Good Shepherd. He's the bread of life. Meaning he will feed us now. Hallelujah. He feeds us spiritually. And guess what? He supplies all of your needs according to his riches and glory. Did you know because you've been chosen by him and you've been elected by him? Ask yourself this. Did you ever go from the day you were born? Go back to that time. Some of us can't remember until after 5 years old. 4 or 5. It's probably the furthest back until today. God has blessed your parents to always care for you, to have a roof over you, to have clothes on your back, food on your table, till this day. Because God has chosen that for you. He has chosen you and says, because I have chosen them, I'm going to bless them. And they're always going to have. And you're never going to be in need. God is always going to supply all of us, his children, because he's the bread of life. He's the vine, meaning he's our lifeline. You ever watch that program, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Oh, I need to call a lifeline. Well, guess what? All you need to call is Jesus. Right. He's your lifeline. Can I get an amen? He's the vine. And he's the living, risen Savior. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Meaning the way, the only way. So all the false gods, they don't have nothing on Jesus. As I shared earlier, drive down University, down there by North Park, and see all the false little gods in the windows. They can't do nothing for you, I'm sorry. Confucius, Buddha, Allah, they're still in the grave. And their bones are still rotting away. But Jesus is the only one that rose from the dead. Can I get an amen? And you go to his tomb in Jerusalem, he's not there. He's risen. Can I get an amen? He's no longer there. He's the risen Savior. Because he's the way and he's the truth. Everything in the word, his word, will help you. Why? Because he cannot lie to you. He's not like a man. You know, people will lie to you. Have you caught anyone in lies? Oh, come on. Oh, yeah. Come on. Listen. Even in the church, there's liars in the church. Can I get an amen? Come on. But Jesus will never lie to you. He can't. Because he's holy. He's divine. He's God. He's creator. So that's why he's the way. He's the only way. He's the truth. And he's the only one that can give you life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the light of the world. And when the Holy Ghost comes to live inside you, you have now the light of the world living in you. And when people see you, they should be able to see, man, there's something about that person. And you know what? I want that. And guess what? You can have that by faith. That's right. And he's the door. You know, there's so many religions out there. The Bible says they all try to come in a different way. Some of them try to climb a wall. Some of them try to come the back door. But Jesus is the only door. And when he opens the door, then he'll say, come and find green pastures here. I'll feed you. He's the only way. You know, praise God for the religions that we once had as children. But that took us so far until Jesus made himself real to you. He opened the door. And guess what? He opened the door to your heart so he could come in and sup with you. Thank you, God. So right up here, what does the scriptures say about Jesus' name? Come on, this is all about Jesus today. Can I get an amen? It's all about Jesus. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. Hallelujah. What does Scripture say about his name? Right up here. His name is above every name. Oh, yes, it is. Oh, Lord, show me that, Pastor Fee. Okay, I will. Right here, Philippians 2:9. Look at this. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above what? Every name. So some of you that are battling with cancer and diabetes and alcoholism and tobacco smoking and all these vices that we find ourselves in, the only name that can deliver you from that is Jesus. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. The patches won't work. Hallelujah. The pills and the drugs won't work. Therapy won't work. Hallelujah. But the name above all names will deliver you. Can I get an amen? That's the only name. The name of Jesus. It's above cancer. It's above diabetes. It's above dementia. It's above all that. Hallelujah. The only name that's above all names. Hallelujah. Will deliver a man and a woman. Hallelujah. From their despair. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Above every name, and that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth. What does that mean, under the earth? Those are the ones that are in hell. They still have to bow. My goodness, under the earth. Wow. You didn't see that one, did you? And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Saying even the world's tyrants who have rejected Jesus want to control everything and will one day fall to their knees and be forced to admit that he is Lord. Why? Because he is the only name by which we are saved. Well, wait a minute. Someone told me that all I needed to do was pray 150 Hail Marys. Now, the only Hail Mary you're going to see is someone losing on a football team that throws up a last pass. I got some word that he's the only one. It's right up here in Acts 4:12. Look at that. Nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Can I get an amen to that? He's the only name. He's the only name that can save us. So forget about who told you this and told you that. And his name, look at this. His name indicates his mission as deliverer. That's right. And he won't come by Amazon. Now, where's that Amazon deliverer, man? I'm waiting for this package. An angel gave his name to Joseph. Look at this. We read this last week. And he shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Thank you, God. Listen, turn to your neighbor to the right and say, thank you for saving me, Jesus. And then turn to your neighbor to the left. Thank you for saving me, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know why? Because he's the only one that can save. Can I get an amen? Amen. I wouldn't be here if he didn't save me. I'm sorry. I'd be doing something else. And I'd probably be still waking up from something ugly I did the night before. And last night, I said, Lord, bless this day before I went to bed. Hallelujah. Because he's given us now a new mind and a new heart. Amen. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. And so Jesus is the only, right up here, he's the only begotten Son of God. Aren't you so blessed? He only had one son. That's all he needed. God only needed one son to take care of biz here on earth. That's right. And we see this familiar scripture. Some of you, they're going to go home and watch the rest of the games or whatever is all on TV when they're ready to kick a field goal. John 3:16. You ever see that? They're in the end zone. Praise God for those that come out there. You know, and I'm sure they're challenged with that sign. Why do you want to show that sign? For God so loved the world. Tell them. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Right? Amen? Right up here. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Thank you, God. And so, saints, there is none. There is none like Jesus. There is none like him. Can I get an amen? Amen. We're coming in for a close here. But there's none like him. I hope you know that. I found some very interesting things I want to show us right here. But there is no one like him. Ain't no one can touch him. Ain't no one can sit right next to him. Man, you know, I can do these things. Uh-uh. You're here because of his grace. We're here because of his mercy. But let's look at this right up here. He never wrote a book, but he is the subject of the greatest book ever written. The number one selling book is the Bible. And it's all about Jesus. Look at this. He never wrote a song, yet he is the subject of many songs. Oh, weren't we worshiping this morning? We weren't worshiping each other, were we? Oh, thank God for your suit on. Thank God for your Santa Claus hat. No, we were here worshiping the King, weren't we?
Yes.
Thank you, God. Look at this. He never owned a home, but he prepared one for us. What? Listen, Rancho Santa Fe don't got nothing on you. Hey, listen, you may never live in a $30 million home. I get that. With all the amenities. Come on, the swimming pool that starts in the family room that goes out to the backyard. Come on, horse stables and can ride my favorite horse every morning. Come on, tennis courts, pap, pap. Basketball courts, 70-inch TV in the toilet. Come on, I've seen homes like that. They're ridiculous, but they're there. Come on. And yet, the best that mankind has pales in comparison to what God has prepared for us. And guess what? We won't have to have termite services in that new home. We won't have to worry about maintenance, paying the electric bill. Man, what God has prepared for us is for eternity. Hallelujah. And we're going to glorify him and magnify him. Look at this next one up here. He never traveled more than 100 miles from home, yet the entire world is in his presence. What? Get a hold of that one for a moment. Chew on that one for a moment. He never traveled more than 100 miles. Look at number five. Let's go back. He didn't have a medical license, but is known as the great physician. Come on. Come on, he didn't go to Einstein University. Listen, you can watch whatever you're watching on TV, football game, whatever. And how many pharmaceutical commercials are there? Huh? How many? For every little ailment that we go through, they have a pill for you. And yet all you need to do is call upon the name of Jesus. He's the great physician. Look at that. He never marshaled an army, but he could bring down every kind of kingdom imaginable. And guess what kingdom he has destroyed in your life? The kingdom of darkness. Can I get an amen? He invaded our life and destroyed the darkness in our life. Can I get an amen? That was a kingdom in itself. He came in, hallelujah, and just swept our whole being out and filled us up with His glory, His power, His anointing. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Look at the next one. Herod could not kill him. That king wanted him dead. They searched high and low, far and near for him. And God kept him away from him. Satan could not seduce him. Remember when he was baptized by his cousin? He can honestly say, I got baptized by my primo. John the Baptist, that was his cousin, wasn't it? Baptized, that's my primo. He baptized me. Oh, yeah. And look. And when he went out into the wilderness, the first person that came to try to seduce him was Satan himself. This is why it's critical when new believers get saved, you got to pray for them. Because here come the devil. Oh, man, that you a lie. You ain't saved. Oh, man, that was just an emotional decision you made. You know, God can't keep you. Man, that's when you got to tell the devil you are a liar and the father of lies. You got to claim, I am now saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, with power and anointing. Can I get amen? Amen. You got to stand now. Jesus used the word and rebuked the devil. Look at this. Death couldn't destroy him. Aren't you so blessed? He conquered death, hell, and the grave. He did it for you and me. For me? Come on. We don't have to die anymore in agony and have no hope. He is our hope. He is our only hope. And the tomb could not keep him in. What? It couldn't keep him in. We've been blessed to go to Israel, and there's the garden tomb, and you walk in. Sister Rachel, you've been there? How many times have you been to the garden tomb? Is he there? Huh? What does the sign say on the wall? He is risen. He is risen. He no longer takes residence there. Hallelujah. But if you go dig up Uncle Henry and Aunt so-and-so, they're still there. Jesus, man, he's gone into glory. So saints, in closing, look at this up here. Jesus' names in scripture describe his attributes and his mission. So all in a nutshell, remember who he is right up here. Let's look at this. He is the King of Kings. He is the Son of God. He is the Lamb of God. He is the Rose of Sharon. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the great high priest. He is the morning star, the Prince of Peace, Wonderful Counselor, Emmanuel, meaning God with us. He is the Word of God. He was the greatest prophet ever. And he is what? The Alpha and the Omega. Hallelujah. The beginning and the end. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Come on, give him praise and glory in the house. Hallelujah. This is better than the presents that are under the tree you're going to unwrap in a few. Can I get an amen? Amen? Come on. It's about him. It's about Jesus. Hallelujah. He clothed himself in righteousness and presented to us, hallelujah, a risen Savior. Hallelujah. He should be our all in all. He is our God. He is the biggest present given to mankind. Can I get an amen? Amen. And you got to believe who he is. Hallelujah. He is the great I am. Hallelujah. And I'm praying right now for maybe someone who's listening to this message, who's never given their heart to Christ. This is your moment right now. If you never surrendered your life to Jesus, this is the moment to say, oh God, here I am. And if you're listening right now on the internet, God has spoken to you, and God has been gracious to you, and God has been merciful to you, and God is now drawing you to himself. And all you have to do is cry out to him. We're going to pray a prayer with you. It's not a magical, mystical prayer. It's a prayer of faith. God has given mankind a very special tool, and that tool is called prayer. And why did he give it to us? So we who are sinful down here can communicate with a holy God by faith. And so, if that's you, pray this simple prayer and watch God do the miraculous in your life. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give him praise and glory in the house. Is he worthy? Come on, is he worthy? Hallelujah. Thank you, God.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you, and thank you for listening.